Thank you so much, choir. Our text for today is a psalm about longing. It's a psalm that speaks to this core human desire that we have to simply be with God. And it gives us a picture of what it would mean for us to focus our energy, focus our time, our mind space, our heart space toward God instead of toward all the other things that tend to demand our attention on a daily basis. So it's a text that forces us to face, to wonder about the restlessness in our souls and this inability that we have to settle our minds and hearts and just be. So as we jump into this morning, I encourage you to pay attention to whatever's going on in your heart and in your mind this morning, especially the longings that are most present to you. Are you aware of feeling that restlessness or dissatisfaction or distraction from the things that call you into true rest, true peace before God? And do you find yourself using your energy and your mind space for lesser things, lesser loves in your life? And how's that going for you? Are you feeling fulfilled? Are you satisfied with those things? Or do you long for something more? Maybe you've heard Augustine's famous prayer that says, "You have made us for yourself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you." We'll come back to this prayer a little later in the service, but if you're like me, these words ring so true pretty much every day that I live in the world as a human being. I am restless, I'm distracted, I'm trying to figure out what to do with my deep desire for meaning and goodness and connection, and I often find myself looking every other place than the true source of it all. I get so annoyed with myself checking Instagram 15 times every hour, and I don't know what to do with that. And I know I'm not alone in that struggle. The good news is that our deepest longings have everything to do with our spirituality. It's not like we have to figure out how to let go of our longings or our desires before we can come before God. It's actually the opposite. An author named Ronald Rollheiser, in his book, The Holy Longing, says this: "Spirituality is ultimately about what we do with our desire, what we do with our longings, both in terms of handling the pain and the hope that they bring us. That is our spirituality. Spirituality is about what we do with our unrest." So what do we do with it? How do you tend to deal with the restlessness in your soul in the ordinary moments of life? Does it come out in frustration toward yourself or others? Does it become perfectionism or a need to control the circumstances around you? Maybe you fill your time with noise and endless tasks so that you don't have to face your honest thoughts or feelings in those quiet moments. As Pastor Tim talked about last week, the Psalms are this rich resource that we have in Scripture that express the whole range of human emotion, and they give us a model for prayer. They give us words that we can use to give voice to our own emotions and desires. And so I want to read Psalm 84 for us that we used in the call to worship. And I'll invite you to close your eyes if that helps you to listen, or follow along if it helps to see the words. But as I read it, let the words of this psalm just wash over you and become your own prayer. And try to pay attention to which words or images stick out to you and what God might be saying to you through them. Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed are those who trust in you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have such a beautiful expression of praise and longing and love for God written in such a personal way. This psalm is written from the perspective of someone who is remembering the joy of traveling toward Jerusalem to the temple. And most scholars think that the author is probably a Levite, someone who normally functioned in some sort of service or had a job in the temple, possibly a doorkeeper, as the psalm names. But for some reason, the author has been barred from access to the temple, possibly because of violence or war happening in that area. So for the psalmist, this prayer is about longing to be somewhere where he has experienced the fullness of God's presence. He longs to be on the road toward a place of rest and security and goodness, kind of like the feeling of looking forward to going home after a really long, stressful day, where you get to finally take off your shoes and just flop on the couch and just be. God's house for him is a place like that, where we are fully known and loved and safe right down to our bones. This is what the psalmist is longing for. And I would venture to say that this is what we're all longing for on some level. As I think about what the source of our collective restlessness might be, I get the sense that a lot of it is about not feeling that sense of home in our lives, not feeling truly known or loved, and trying to find that feeling in all sorts of places. So we set out each day on a search for that sense of love and security, and we go down all sorts of roads, some of which lead us in the opposite direction. And we might get glimpses of the real thing, we might get a little taste of that true rest, but we don't know how to hold on to it, we don't know how to name it for what it is, and then we move on to the next thing. We have this need to fill up the spaces of our lives with stuff, and it can be so addicting and distracting from what our souls are truly longing for. In our small group this fall, we're reading a book by Tish Warren called Liturgy of the Ordinary. And in one of the chapters, she talks about the resistance in our culture to stillness that is so present. And she describes a study that was done at the University of Virginia that showed that given the choice, many people preferred undergoing electric shock to sitting alone with their thoughts. She said study participants were exposed to a mild shock, which they all reported they didn't like and would pay money not to undergo again. But when left alone in an empty room with a shocker button for up to 15 minutes, removed from all distractions, unable to check their phones or listen to music, 2/3 of men and 1/4 of women in the study chose to voluntarily shock themselves rather than sit in silence. One of the doctors who helped conduct the study said the mind is so prone to want to engage with the world, it will take any opportunity to do so. But it's kind of concerning to learn that when our minds are given this space to rest, the automatic impulse for so many of us is to do the equivalent of an electric shock to our system instead of embracing quiet and stillness around us. So what is your shocker button? What's the thing that you choose again and again to stimulate or distract or fill up the time instead of embracing open space to spend with God, your creator, the source of life and breath and everything else? Maybe write it down in your bulletin or on your phone, because we know the first step is naming it and admitting that we have a problem. So go ahead and do that. There's a really interesting image in verse 5 of the psalm that is translated, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage." But literally the phrase means, "in whose hearts are the highways." And I think it's so interesting to think of our hearts traveling down highways, speeding in a certain direction, because it's so true. Even when we know that our time would be better spent in quiet and rest before God, with God, our habits are so trained in a certain way that it's hard to stop the train. It feels like it's too much work to pull over and reevaluate where we're heading and if it's really where we want to go. So where are the highways of your heart taking you? Clearly, the author of this psalm knows what and who he longs for. His relationship with God is personal and intimate. In fact, God's personal name, Yahweh, is used 7 times in this psalm. So it's not a prayer to a faraway, distant God who may or may not hear or care what the psalmist is saying. It's an expression of love and longing to be together with God. It's kind of like a love letter written to someone who's far away. These two have some history. There is shared knowledge and experience between them, and they've walked some dark roads together. Verse 6 in the psalm says, as they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. Valley of Baca can be translated valley of weeping, and it refers to this very desolate stretch of land on the road toward Jerusalem. So in the words of this psalm, we're given permission to acknowledge the dark valleys. We can name the experiences of our lives that are like dark, barren stretches of land, and we can invite God into those spaces. And this is such a powerful truth about who God is. God is not absent or separate from our seasons of grief and pain. God walks with us through them. It is possible for pain, for grief, and hope to exist together in these valleys. And God is part of it all, sitting with us, entering fully into our pain, and creating new depth of relationship through those times. And it does take a level of intimacy and trust to allow God to be a companion on these roads. The psalmist knows the level of God's care for him, and he puts his trust in that, even when he feels far from where he wants to be. But in those dark times, the reality is it can be really hard to truly know and believe that we matter to God. And yet, again and again in Scripture, we are told that this is true. Matthew 10 says that not one sparrow falls to the ground outside of God's care, and that every hair on our head is numbered, which basically means that every silly little detail of our lives, everything that makes up our unique personhood, is important to this God, who is personal and involved and so full of love. This is very good news, because this is what our hearts are truly longing for, intimacy with the living God, for loving relationship, to be truly and fully known. We feel this longing inside ourselves all the time, and you've probably recognized it in other people as well. So what is keeping you from resting in God's presence? What gets in the way? What demands your attention? And why do you let it? What would it take to embrace true rest today, this week, in the season leading into the holidays that can get so chaotic? So instead of me talking more here at the close of our time, we're going to have an experience of just resting in God's presence together. The band is going to come up and play a song by Audrey Assad called Restless, which speaks to this truth that our hearts are made to rest in the presence of God. And then I'll read Psalm 84 again, and then I'll pray. And during this time, you're invited to simply listen and take in the truth that God wants to be with you. And if you can, allow yourself to be known and loved by our good God. So we'll enter into this time now and have the band play.
Just let the song minister to you. Don't need to sing along. We offer it to you. Offer it to your heart.
Rising to your heart.
How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, or she may have her young. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, they are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of weeping, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed are those who trust in you. God, we do trust in you, or at least we want to. And we believe that you are good and faithful and full of love. So create in us hearts that are turned toward you. Help us to recognize the source of our unrest and seek your presence instead of all the things that we know will never be enough. We so deeply want to be covered in your love, God, and to know in our bones that we are yours. So keep calling us by name. Meet us where we are in all of our messiness. Draw us closer to the lives that you want for us. By your Spirit, give us courage to be people who reflect the goodness of life in your kingdom and share it with the people around us. We pray all these things in your name. Amen. We invite you to stand now as we sing our closing song.